I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is 90.9 WBUR. 50 years ago this week, the first U.S. chapter of the suicide prevention organization Samaritans opened in Boston. There were 24 volunteers in the basement of the Arlington Street Church in Boston. They had a bank of rotary phones and a wealth of compassion for people who called their hotline, people who were struggling with mental health issues, including thoughts of suicide. Today, across the U.S., suicide is at an all-time high. Almost 50,000 people took their lives in 2022, more than 600 of them in Massachusetts. Today, at a statehouse event marking Samaritan's anniversary, Massachusetts Health and Human Services Secretary Kate Walsh said there is reason for hope.
We know that despite the number of painful, heartbreaking losses to suicide we've experienced, there are just as many, if not more, people whose lives were saved through prevention. And I have no doubt that Samaritans and its fellow providers are a big reason why.
These days, there are independent Samaritans branches around the country. Their work includes community education and support programs for people who've lost a loved one to suicide. The Boston chapter long ago left the church basement, its offices downtown. In the past 5 decades, the Boston Center has answered more than 3 million calls and text messages to its helpline. The volunteers who answer the calls are trained to be compassionate, non-judgmental listeners, as we heard when we visited in 2017.
So what's it like to live with depression for every day for 35 years? Oh, wow. So you feel it as a kind of pain? Oh, my heart goes out to you.
Casey Maitland used to answer the Samaritan's hotline. Her father did, too, when she was a kid. He inspired her to volunteer. She became a social worker, and now she's chief clinical officer for Samaritans in Boston.
The basic principle behind what we do at Samaritans is something called befriending. And the definition of befriending is really the art of listening. And the one thing that I always gained from my father was his ability to be asking the right questions, because he was always asking them in an open-ended way, in a caring way. And that was because that's what he learned to do on the helpline. So we're asking every single caller if they're feeling suicidal. And if the answer is no, we continue to befriend. And what that means is continuing to ask questions about what they're sharing.
So if your job is to validate the feelings of the person who's on the line, how do you do that when somebody is possibly on the verge of taking their life?
Well, I think it's just that. It's validating that that's a very real feeling and that it's understandable that someone would feel that way at this point in time in their life. And that is a very significant thing to have happen when someone says, I hear you. I can understand why you might be feeling suicidal. I can understand why you might feel like that's the only option. And so then our job on the helpline is to help them think about ways that they can access and gain help in that moment.
In a minute, I want to ask you what we as individuals can do. But in terms of Samaritans, you've done it for 50 years. What has changed first in the hotline during that time?
Suicide prevention has evolved quite a bit over the course of the last 50 years, as you can imagine. We are working with people to safety plan. We are working with people to access the help that they need. Whereas before, the idea around intervention was, let's allow people to make decisions about what they want. And now the intervention is more collaborative. It is, how can we get you the help that you need, rather than you saying, I don't want help, don't help me. The other really major advancement has been the institution of 988, the 3-digit federal number. We are answering calls in the state of Massachusetts. So there's 5 centers that answer those 988 calls. Another service that we offer is Hey Sam, a youth text line, peer-to-peer service for folks ages 15 to 24, or people up to the age of 24, I should say. And the folks answering those text messages are people up to the age of 24. And so we sort of saw this gap where we knew that teens are using text-based services much more than they are picking up the phone and dialing. And also hearing from them saying, I want to talk to someone who might know what I'm going through. I want to talk to someone my own age.
So do those conversations happen any differently then? I mean, texting can be instantaneous, but it's different from hearing someone's voice.
Yeah, they're much longer. So on average, we're seeing phone calls be between 10 and 15 minutes, depending on what's happening. And an average text conversation is around 45 minutes. People pick up their phone, they put down their phone, they're texting back and forth, they're going to do something, they're coming back to it. But the actual nature of how we befriend is really the same.
So in the population as a whole, there are survivors, but there are more people taking their own life in this country than ever before. Samaritans has saved so many lives in the past 50 years and done so much. Why is it that the numbers are so great and the hurt seems so great as well?
Well, I think that we're at a time period where we're just seeing the repercussions of loneliness, maybe lack of access to mental health care. I think one thing to point to that's really important is that 51% of all suicide deaths are by gun. And so when you look at the national data of the suicide rates as a whole, and you look at Massachusetts, we rank relatively low. The reason for that is good gun laws. But the thing that we continue to hold on to is the hope that we're going to do better, the hope that what we are doing continues to save lives, because we know that it has.
If we know someone who's struggling and want to recommend Samaritans, but also want to do something on our own, how do we approach them? What do we say?
So I think the most important part about the way that we engage with people who might be suicidal is that we're asking the question if they're actually feeling that way. So we're actually saying the words, are you feeling suicidal?
And there are people who worry that that's going to plant the seed.
Everybody worries that that's going to plant the seed, and the research does not support that in any way. And my experience doesn't support that in any way. What you will most likely receive in return of asking that question is relief from the person who is getting that question asked.
And if the answer is yes?
There's a couple of things that you can do. The first thing is, thank you for sharing that with me. The next active step may be, who can we call right now that would be the most helpful to you? Maybe that's a parent, a family member, a friend, a therapist. There's also resources in Massachusetts like the Behavioral Health Helpline that can be called as well for, you know, additional resources, maybe not in the time of a crisis. But it's acknowledging, it's validating, and then accessing help.
Casey Maitland, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Casey Maitland is Chief Clinical Officer for Samaritans in Boston. If you or somebody you know is having thoughts of suicide or another mental health crisis, you can call or text the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at 988.